This is KUT.
KUT, Austin.
Stop.
This weekend at Circuit of the Americas, IndyCar Racing will hold its first official event in Austin. Sunday's inaugural IndyCar Classic will feature some of the fastest drivers in the world, but no women or African Americans behind the wheel. KUT's Jimmy Moss dug into the history of minority IndyCar drivers and found a local connection to this national story. And a warning, this story contains a racially offensive word.
Just outside of Austin, past the Hays County line in Driftwood, lives one of U.S. racing's biggest pioneers. And he moved here for one of the more Texas-y of reasons.
I love Texas. I love it. One, because I love shooting, and I shoot with my son. My name is Willie T. Ribbs, and I'm a former racing driver who made history in the sport, and we're going to talk about it.
William Theodore Ribbs Jr. is the son of a sports car racer in Southern California, and as he grew, he became a pretty good driver, too. He rose through the ranks to become the first black driver to qualify for the Indianapolis 500. He raced in NASCAR, sports cars, trucks, and dirt tracks, but he knows which one matters the most.
Well, I mean, Indy is a big deal, no matter who you are, and it's the biggest race on the planet, and it's a very dangerous place on top of it.
It was 1991. The Indy 500 had run 74 races without any black drivers participating. That changed for the 75th running.
You know, you're in a select group of the 33 best in the world, and to be in that group, it's like going to the Super Bowl for a football player.
Ribbs qualified again in 1993, but that would be his last year in the race. Since then, one other African-American, George Mack, qualified for it in 2002. This Memorial Day will be the 103rd running of the Indy 500. There have been more than 3,300 participants, only three black entries. It has not all been bad. Ribbs received a lot of support from some of the biggest names in the sport, people like Bernie Ecclestone, the Unser family. Paul Newman was well known as an actor, but also was an IndyCar owner and saw Ribbs' talent early. Bill Cosby sponsored a Rainer Motorsports car in 1990 to allow Ribbs a shot in Indy. Ribbs said he did not know Cosby personally, but says without Cosby's investment, he would not have made it to the Indy 500.
And the sport, in some ways, has been good to me, but then the sport has not been kind to Willie T. Ribbs. And from the manufacturers in the sport, from the sponsors in the sport, they've been hostile and still are to this. Some of the racing clubs in the sport and organizations are still hostile to Willie T. Ribbs.
In what way?
We don't want you around, nigger. You heard what I said.
We don't
want you around, nigger. And they show it.
Wow. Like, do you want to say who, or do you?
Well, that'd be another subject.
Okay. Ribbs is known in the sport as someone who does not mince words or pull punches. His Indy career ended with a lack of sponsorship after 1994. Historically, IndyCar has been slow to open its starting grid to women as well.
My name is Janet Guthrie, and back in 1977, I became the first woman to earn a starting position in both the Indianapolis 500 and the Daytona 500 NASCAR Cup race.
We might take for granted now that there are women racers, but that was a novelty not that long ago. Janet Guthrie endured a lot of public backlash from fans and drivers when she tried to move up the ranks of pro racing. The pressure from her peers cooled after they saw her on the track.
The drivers learned that I was what I said I was, a racing driver who happened to be a woman, and it simply didn't make any difference. I mean, if your initial position is this driver is a woman, therefore this driver is no good, and then the no good driver blows your doors off, you have to reorient your thinking a little. And for the most part, that did happen.
However, it did not reshape the thinking among corporate sponsors. And just like Ribbs, a lack of funding cut her career short. So why does money appear to mean more than talent when it comes to racing? It's because money means everything when building and running a top team. The best Indy cars can cost more than $3 million, just a fraction of what it costs to run a Formula One team, but still expensive. And that doesn't even include replacement parts, labor, and travel costs for your team. So are the financial barriers too high to overcome? Racing legend Mario Andretti takes an old-school approach to the question. His career began after fleeing with his family from refugee camps in post-war Italy. His family arrived in America without much more than the bags in their hands. He went on to become the only person to have won the Indianapolis 500, an F1 World Championship, and NASCAR's Daytona 500. He has faith that somehow a good racer will get noticed.
I've never seen real talent go wasted. So there are ways to start. When you start, you can enroll, you know, in a driving school where they have competition programs, be evaluated. You go on from there, you're recommended, and people will always notice exceptional talent.
But those driving schools Andretti mentions are not cheap either. At some of the bigger ones, you can pay close to $5,000 for 3 days. At a local track, just a one-day intro class is more than $500. And of course, it takes more than a few days of training to make a race car driver. Here's Willie T. Ribbs again.
No matter who you are, it takes a lot of money. In some cases, it's harder for others. It was harder for me.
Steven Starks is the vice president of promoter and media partner relations with IndyCar. In short, he helps negotiate contracts for racetracks, promoters like COTA, and television deals like the one Indy has with NBC. He says Indy is working on the problem.
Obviously, you know it, and anyone can see it, that there's work to be done. But I think that that is true for a lot of industries, and motorsports is no different. And so hopefully all the stakeholders in our sport find it important to be diverse. I think they do.
And Indy is doing what it can to be inclusive. It is only the sanctioning body for the race series. It does not own the teams or have a hand in who they might hire in any aspect of their team, including the driver. But Rib says Indy could do more.
If the sport wanted it to happen, it would happen. Period.
Despite his relationship with racing, Ribs has not left the sport entirely. He has partnered with ex-racer Al Unser Jr. on a series of vintage stock car races. In an odd coincidence, the careers of Ribs, Guthrie, and Andretti are the subjects of three documentaries out later this year. Guthrie's ESPN 30 for 30 documentary, Qualified, premiered at South by Southwest last week. The one about Ribs, Uppity, will be released digitally by Chassis Media later this year. Jimmy Moss, KUT News.